Welcome to the Midwest Scrubcast. I'm Emily Rastel, and I'll be your pilot for the party bus today.
Were we supposed to yell to mark the time?
Right. We forgot to yell to mark the time. Dang it.
We don't need it.
We don't need
just
it.
Just go
okay,
on.
Just keep going.
Okay. All right. Midwest Scrubcast. Joining us.
That might be a new record for how quickly it gets interrupted. Anyway.
In joining us in the gunner slot? Are you in the gunner slot? I don't even remember at this point.
No anymore. Just somebody leaped from the back, from the farthest back seat, and just grabbed the wheel. And
I don't even know where we are anymore.
Oh boy. You're in the gunner slot, and are Clint the AC Face Houston.
Hi, hello. And joining us along for the ride in one of our crew slots is Travis, just Travis, I have decided.
Hi, I am just Travis. Let's see. Yeah, you'll be a crew this week. Dan, the Midwest Scrub, himself.
That's
Peterson.
Hello. That was pretty close.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I appreciate that you assigned me a seat.
Assigned seating only.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
I did threaten to stick him in the cannon slot.
Oh, Lord. All right. And, you know, joining us in the smuggling department is sometime special guest, Matt Fancy Shades Carey.
All right.
Them off now.
I'm glad that even with the shades on, you still look me up and down as if you're like,
just to decide.
I'm going
to
be like, I might audible this. I might go away from the shades. I don't know.
The shorts seem fancy.
They're new.
New shorts.
Newish. Oh. They got that fresh look to them, you know.
They do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And more zippers for me to play with.
They are zippers. And they can be played
with. Is that a pocket?
Yes, that is a pocket.
It's an actual pocket and not just
it's not just a superfluous zipper.
That is so many pockets. What is this pocket for?
Why are you playing with his zippers?
It's a thing Dan does.
I just play with zippers. I don't know.
He messes with me while we're here. He's got a pencil that he has in his hands right now.
I have a wrapper in my hands right now.
No, the pencil's over here.
The pencil's over by Emily. Okay, so I just assumed he had a pencil in his hand, which he typically does. Mm-hmm. And then he'll like stick it in the sleeve of my shirt in between my bicep and my... And, you know, just my shirt.
And
just leave it there. And then he'll grab it and take it back and
like, poke you with it or
I
whatever.
I will randomly, walking by Clint, grab his jacket zipper and unzip it and then walk away. Like, it just, I don't know. I don't play with, like, you know, crotch zippers so much.
Although you got close this time. This is a thigh zipper.
It is a thigh zipper.
That one is a really weird zipper.
He's working his way.
Getting more and more comfortable.
But
they have a lot of pockets.
So
you didn't answer my question, or if you did, I ignored you. What is that
currently
one for?
It is for nothing.
Okay.
Because it's not big
it's
enough.
It's small.
It's small. It's too small for a wallet. I tried that first. Didn't fit. So it's right now it's superfluous.
I bet my wallet would fit in there.
What?
I bet my wallet would fit in there.
Probably.
A pocket on the inside of your thigh. It's just weird.
Well, it's
no, not that one.
It's on the top of your thigh?
No, it's... Yeah. I mean, it's...
That one is
like...
The little one on the side is what we're talking about.
Pouch on the side of your thigh that's like... It's like a butt pocket, but it's on the side of your thigh, and it's small.
Yeah, it is a small pocket.
Somebody else's butt.
Yes, so it is small sized. Dan will be taking a picture of my jeans or pants
For the post.
Now you have multiple pictures you need to send to Travis so that he knows what we're talking about.
Or just because.
Oh, yeah. I guess I could send these to Travis. I wasn't going to.
I figured he was just going to post it to the Discord.
Yeah, just do it onto the Discord.
With no explanation.
Yeah, I'll do that. All right. Let's start.
No context Discord posting.
That's correct. Of Matt's pants.
Hey!
Yeah.
Like pens and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but, like, it's not even really long enough for the pen.
Yeah. It's more of just if you got something small, you could toss it in there, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I would put in there.
Would you like me to unzip the thigh pocket and take a picture of that and send it to you?
No, you can keep that.
Okay. He's fine without that, then. All right. So where were we?
Matt was being introduced. Yeah.
yes. I have glasses. I have shorts. I also have a shirt, but...
Yeah. It's very white.
It is the least interesting shirt in the world.
I feel like that's maybe the same shirt that he wore last time, because I struggled. I think last time it was matte white t-shirt carry.
Was it?
I think so.
I don't remember
that, but you know.
But yeah, no.
That was like 2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago? Yeah.
It's a white t-shirt, and there's days where I just feel like a white t-shirt.
So the next thing that I want to talk about is, what product do you put in your hair?
Nothing really, nothing? Aside from shampoo.
Shampoo.
So oh. That native.
Like, but what, like, it seems like it's kind of held in place. Like, is there nothing?
You see the headphones on top of my head?
Oh.
That's what's holding it in place. No, it's. This
Your
is...
hair does swoop very,
it does
like,
swoop very well.
Very yeah. well, even without yeah. product. Yeah.
But mm-hmm. My hair is very fine.
It just naturally swoops like that?
No. I just push it that way. But my hair will hold decently okay until like the wind hits
sure
mm-hmm. And then because it's very fine, it is easily blown off, you know, like by a brisk wind.
Okay.
So
mm-hmm.
So I don't need anything to hold it, because my hair isn't like thick and doesn't like hold its form. I don't need gel or
hairspray.
Pomade or anything, or hairspray to pomade. Put it into a position.
Are you a Dapper Dan man?
I want pomade. No, I don't want the, pomade. I'm a
you're
Dapper
Dan. He can't be Dapper Dan.
Yeah. You're Dapper Dan. That's new intro. So he's no longer Midwest scrub. He's just Dapper Dan. Dan. But no, I only use, so it did take me a long time to find shampoo and or conditioner that worked well with my hair. And the native stuff that, yeah. you know, the
I've
deodorant
been using that.
And
it's
stuff.
Good.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
So like native, as soon as I found it, I was like, this stuff's great, because like I have really greasy hair. If I go one day without washing my hair, it is disgusting.
Ooh.
So I have to wash it every day, which also really dries it out.
Yeah.
So this stuff doesn't like overly wash my hair. Mm-hmm. It just pulls enough of the oils out to where I don't feel disgusting throughout the day.
Okay.
So, mm-hmm. But that
do you
also
use like conditioner as well, or
this particular bottle that I have has conditioner in the shampoo, but
what abomination?
Which normally. Not a fan of, but this mm-hmm. native stuff has just been like the best line of.
Is
like,
it also a shampoo or a soap? Shampoo, conditioner, body wash, all in one. And toothpaste.
I also use it as dishwash. But no, it's.
Oh, no.
It's. I mean, they do have a body wash, and I do use their body wash, but I use it separate from the shampoo and hair conditioner. But so I used to get their shampoo and then separately conditioner, and then I tried this one that was shampoo and conditioner, and it seems to still give me what my hair needs. So
okay. Right on.
Yeah. I use the sea salt and... coconut? No, that's the
vinegar.
That's the body wash.
I think sea salt and vinegar.
sea salt and vinegar. No.
Which extra salt?
It's pretty good flavor.
It's sea salt and something. I don't remember what it is, but
cucumbers?
No, sea salt and cucumber. I mean, that sounds.
That at least sounds better
that
than
sounds
vinegar.
Like something, yeah. It's like, yeah, I go throughout my day smelling like vinegar. But so we've talked. I mean. As much as I like people talking about me, we've talked about me for a little bit for now. So I'm going to toss it to the pilot of this train wreck, Emily Rassel, the Terror Rassel.
Thank you.
Does that make her a conductor?
Perhaps.
Yeah, the conductor of
this
train wreck.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Train wreck. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Who drives a dumpster fire, though? Raccoon?
What is the driver of a dumpster fire?
The raccoon captain of a dumpster fire?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, welcome, everyone. We have joining us today, you've heard his name, but you don't know why he's here. Now I will tell you. He is the randomly drawn winner of the prize of dubious value for completing the Fit with Scrub April challenge. I almost said October, but it's not fall. The Fit with Scrub April challenge. Yeah. congratulations, Travis, and welcome to the cast.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, yeah.
Now I was going to say congrats.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, so
someone's enjoying it,
right?
yeah.
Oh, dear.
So yes, welcome. I guess we really should start in the traditional scrub way with the scrub AA meeting. So, Travis, if you could introduce yourself and tell us why you are a scrub.
Hi, I'm Travis.
Hello, I'm Travis.
I am scrub because I am at best average at almost everything I do. I guess we start with ostensibly X-Wing, mm-hmm. because that's kind of where you guys started. I am not good at making lists. I am not good at turn zero, though I will say that I kind of picked up objectives in 2.5 a lot quicker than most other people,
yeah.
which kind of helped for a little while.
Yeah.
I am not good at setting up my stuff. I'm not good at flying them, and rely on luck a lot of the time. my dice have a reputation over here, and they do tend to bail me out more often than not. And I'm also pretty bad at viewing my win condition mid-game, so I am scrub because I am not good.
It's pretty a rap sheet. You know?
Well,
keep going.
And like everything I do is basically accidental.
Well, it's such humility from someone who very non-accidentally qualified to win a prize of dubious value.
Oh, that is true. I relied on luck to get that too.
That's true. There was a luck element there. Yeah.
But you did absolutely crush it. Like, I suppose we'll get there when we get there. But,
We can talk about Fitwiss, but. But first, we should do the other question. Yes, I like lost my train of thought mid-sentence.
Get those questions in there.
Yes, another traditional question. I don't know why this is still our traditional question since half of us barely play X-Wing, but the traditional question is, what X-Wing ship do you own the most of, not counting TIEs unless you just really love TIEs?
There's TIEs, but not the ones you're thinking of. I am the proud and sad owner of 11 TIE Strikers.
Really?
Oh, wow.
That's
a fair number.
That is a new one on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Number one.
So why? But why?
But why? I qualified for Worlds in... I kind of occasionally am not scrub, and I accidentally qualified for Worlds in the 2019 Australian System Open.
Okay.
Of September that year, and afterwards I was starting to mess around with a whole bunch of, random sort of things because why not? Mm-hmm. And I stumbled across along with the old FFG forums, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was a group of us. We colloquially called ourselves the Ailerons Clubhouse, and so we were flying, Reapers and Strikers.
Okay.
And there was a few of us that together we sort of combined and went, "Hang on, Strikers are pretty okay with hull upgrade, and then you stick Ruthless on them, right?"
Okay.
So I was part of that group that started that up, and I was going to take that to Worlds, and then small pandemic thing happened.
Mm-hmm. yeah.
And like I had painted these ones up. I can't paint. Like I am, I'm not even a scrub at painting. I'm just terrible. and so I'd painted those up, and then as the pandemic was starting to come over and there were rumors of another Worlds building up again sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
No, I want to get myself another one and paint them in a slightly different way.
Oh.
So I ordered more,
mm-hmm.
and 3 days later they changed the rules.
Yeah.
Yep.
So they have been sitting very sadly in a cupboard, mm-hmm. for a while.
Okay. Mm. So it was a paint job that set you on the path to owning 11 Strikers.
I had six. One was like a test pilot for the painting, and then I ordered five more. And
Hey, they're on changes.
Strikers aren't good, y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bought. I had four in first edition, and that was too many for second edition.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, now no, I wouldn't even.
Five strikers is fun.
I mean, it was fun flying. I flew in first edition. It was Vessery and three strikers, and that was a ton of fun. But
interesting.
Yeah. And they had
I like that.
They had targeting computer, and you know, I would just kind of like they were.
Oh, you go out there and get Vessery to get his own locks. And,
yeah. So
yeah, that sounds cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna post. Actually, I have a picture from back in first edition, so I'm gonna post that to the Discord.
Go post it in the first edition.
First addiction?
The first addiction.
Yeah. I mean, tab. Yeah, sub-tab. That's not incorrect. Yeah. That is my first addiction next week.
Yeah.
Oh, it really was, wasn't it?
Yes. All right. Yeah. I got to open up a new channel that's 1.0 list building.
Actually, on that note, so like when I found X-Wing, I was actually walking through my local hobby store in the middle of nowhere. Oh, pretty. Very pretty.
Ah, yes.
For the benefit of the listeners, we have three TIE Strikers, and each one has a different stripe.
Yeah.
So we have Striker 1 with one stripe. I assume that's Striker 1.
Yes.
Maybe it's Striker 5.
No, it...
And then 2 and 3 have their appropriate number of stripes. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I remember that one, actually.
Yeah. I also did that. I have two Reapers, and... one of them has two stripes and the other one has three stripes, just in case I wanted to swap them out. But
see, I'm not even looking at the picture. You're just talking about those. I'm like, oh yeah, I do remember that list. I flew against it a long time ago.
And then you can look at
Vessery. Was it painful?
Probably.
You don't remember enough to remember if it was
painful. I was pretty scrubby in 1.0 and I got my butt whooped a lot.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you were very big on Raylo. And they would probably eat up a striker.
Yeah.
Or Jan, Ray, and just Falcon punch me to death.
Yeah.
So you could probably nuke a striker per turn.
I wasn't good. I just punched things really hard with a lot of dice.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, pretended like I was good.
Yeah. Yeah, more so in 1.0, you could just kind of build a list that just threw dice. And, you know.
Here's my four results, and or maybe five results, depending on,
just,
you know, whether you
just roll the dice and then change them to whatever I want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anywho. Anyway, memory lane.
So lots of TIE Strikers. Sorry, again, I made it about me again.
Everybody's got to be good at something, Matt.
Oh, yeah. All right. So, enough X-Wing talk. Let's talk about why you're here today.
Let's talk about those other things that you're scrubby at.
Yeah,
you know?
Fit West. So, do you remember, and I could look it up, but it would take me a second. Do you remember what your final total of numbers was in the Fit West challenge?
I do not. However, you know how you were talking about needing an intern to look stuff up?
Mm-hmm.
That's me. I'm the kind of person who will actually do that. Yeah.
You're our intern now?
Just wait a minute. I'm going to do something here.
Is that what he just said? He's our intern now.
He's interning for us right now. He's looking something up for
us.
He's
our Ottawa.
Okay. Yeah.
He's our Ottawa.
Like permanently or just this episode?
Oh my god, what's that called? Millennium Condor. Ballad of Diffusion.
Yeah. I don't know.
So it's a podcast. It's a bilingual
podcast.
French Canadian, podcast, which does an English language like quiz show thing, or used to. They have. I don't think they've done anything in ages.
Exactly.
But
yeah,
yeah.
Emily was on it. I was.
Yeah, Matt and I were both on it at various
Dan
points.
Dan and I never got on it.
They did not love us.
Yeah, we tried. they never got around to getting us on.
Uh-huh,
they didn't
yeah.
love us enough.
But yes, and then so one of the premises of that quiz show was, you know, the main host Bruno is leans heavily on the French end of French Canadian, and his, you know, his English isn't 100% spectacular, so he relies on his quote intern Ottawa, who, you know, has to like translate for him sometimes and stuff like that. Yeah, that's, yeah,
yeah, cool.
Yeah, so that was the joke. I have now thoroughly explained it.
And now the joke makes sense.
Yes,
I can be Ottawa.
Now everyone should laugh.
This is the part where we throw our heads back and laugh.
For FitWest, I got 1,285 minutes.
There we go.
Which translates almost to 45 minutes a day.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Very solid.
That was quick math. Did you do that on top of your head right there?
I totally didn't use a calculator for that. Mm-hmm. I can't do maths in my head anymore. I am scrub.
Okay. Because I've been like, I can't do math that quick. I was just surprised, you know.
Uh-huh.
I thought you were good at something. Sorry.
If you hear random typing in the background, that's probably me looking stuff.
Interning.
Yeah, this is intern day. Uh-huh. I did that.
Yeah. 45 minutes a day is
that's pretty good.
Is pretty good. Yep. That's, and I think that's like,
it's actually a lot better than I thought it was.
Yeah. It's honestly, I find it to be surprising how quickly the average adds up, because like typically what happens, I feel like, I assume for most people, is like you do stuff like 2 or 3 days a week. And you do, and so you're not really thinking about, like, you're not actually doing X amount per every single day. And so, like, the average kind of sneaks up on you. Like, it, you know, when we first started doing this thing, I was surprised at how not horribly difficult it was to get to 30 minutes a day. Like, the minimum that we set for, to qualify for the, you know, for the drawing. Like, not saying that our barriers are too low. I don't think they are. But, like, it is kind of surprising. Yeah. How easily you can just like find yourself suddenly doing 30 or 45 minutes a day worth of exercise almost without even realizing it. Like, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Like that's part of the appeal and the challenge of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, not challenges, maybe not the right word, uh-huh. But like it half an hour over the course of a day really isn't actually that much.
Mm-hmm. No.
And you split it up over doing different things,
right?
Like walking somewhere as opposed to driving or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it can really build up, as you say.
And what was the majority of your exercise activities, or what are you?
So I did a fair amount of walking. So walking particularly from my place to the shops. I don't count walking to work because that is actually my normal commute.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And as I understand, things that you normally would do just day-to-day life probably don't count.
Right.
But walking to the shops, it's a 20-odd minute walk, which particularly when it's raining, like you don't do that when it's raining.
Yeah.
That's gone.
Yeah.
But when it's not, like, that's a good walk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's about, it's probably not even 2 kilometers, so about a mile
mm-hmm.
each direction.
Right, right.
Those of you who use Freedom Units.
Uh-huh.
And, like, that alone, like, I go to the shop maybe 2, maybe 3 times a week sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how I choose to live my life, I guess.
Yeah.
Don't get all of the things at once. Just do it when you need it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure.
But then I also did a lot of running. And each FitWest, I try to do something different.
Yeah, because
like
you
odd,
did the
unusual things.
The weighted jump ropes one time, right?
Yeah, so actually way back when I started doing FitWest, or was building up to the next FitWest or something like that, I kept getting ads on from various algorithms,
right?
to purchase weighted skipping reps. I'm like, you know what? Screw it. We're gonna do it. Uh-huh. And I'm gonna tell you, it's actually really like I've never been able to jump rope at all.
Okay.
I'm not that coordinated. Like 10 seconds and I hit myself, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Weighted skipping ropes is a very different way of doing it compared to your traditional sort of light speed rope sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It really does burn the shoulders.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I'm probably not actually jumping correctly. In fact, I'm almost certainly not. I've looked up how to do it, sort of thing. I'm like, yeah, I'm moving my wrists too much, or I'm holding them too far out or too close to me. But like, at least I'm still doing something, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And quite often my shoulders will burn out before my legs do.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Particularly towards the end of a session.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to go for half hour to an hour long sessions. And I've got to tell you, at the end of an hour, my shoulders, they are damaged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good. Crazy long time to be jumping rope.
Yeah.
Like, even not weighted.
There are quite a few stops in between.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, sure, but still, that's that's a lot.
Yeah.
It is. Feels pretty good. So for this challenge, I do a thing. So way back in the day when I was actually fit, I used to be a free runner, parkour.
Okay.
And one of the things that when I was looking up how to build myself up for that, I stumbled across an internet article about how I believe it was the samurai or something like that. They used to plant corn seeds, right? Across, you know, a field, I guess. And every day they jump over them. And So they start off really small, but these things can grow, you know, 3, 4, 5, 10 centimeters a day, sort of thing. I'm like, well, I'm obviously not going to be planting corn or anything like that.
Yeah.
But jumping over an object 100 times was the thing I did. And it turns out you can do that in about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But you start off with something small, like a floor tile, a piece of paper even.
Yeah.
And you go, all right, well, I can jump over that 100 times. Mm-hmm. So you put something larger on, and larger and larger. And gradually, after a week or so, I was jumping over, what do I have? Like a bag on top of a basket, on like, you know, it's just built up like that. And that is a really intense exercise. At the end of that 5 minutes, you got to sit down for 10, sort
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I can imagine. Because, like, just jumping for 5 minutes at a time would
be a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, jumping jacks will wear you out pretty quick, right?
Like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. but the act of, like, you can do that. And, like, skipping rope is effectively just that, right? You're mm-hmm. just jumping up and down on the spot.
Yeah.
But to jump over an object and mm-hmm. turn around and jump back over it and do that.
Yeah, over and over and over again.
Is, mm-hmm. is quite intense. But it does build up a lot of, leg explosivity. That's a word now, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, people talk yeah. about... It basically, it's the dynamic mm-hmm. that first dynamic push mm-hmm. is your explosive power. So yeah, that's a good term for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah,
neat.
So yeah, I like the more cardio type exercises, and the running and that sort of thing.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. You've been posting pictures of park runs as well, right?
Yes. So for those of you who don't know, it tends to be a Commonwealth thing. It started in England and spread to Australia. And so the British Commonwealth tend to have a lot more of them. Whereas when I posted it up, you guys all in the US went, what's a park run? So it's like a volunteer driven event every Saturday at 8 o'clock. And the idea is that you run 5 kilometers, about just a touch over 3 miles, mm-hmm. I think, mm-hmm. Around a park. Like the people who are organizing that have a preset path, particularly the well-established ones, they know exactly where they're going, mm-hmm. sort of thing. And so you're not running to be, yes, I'm the fastest. You're running to say, I have run 5 kilometers. Yeah. Much like the Footwest Scrub thing.
Yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. You're doing it to do it rather than to be good at it.
Right.
Right.
And my goal this year was to get back under 25 minutes for that run.
Okay. That's a good time.
Back when I was proper fit, I could do it in just under 22, I think, is my best recorded time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was hoping that by the end of this Fit West, I could get to that point. And I fell short, and then 2 weeks after Fit West finished, I absolutely annihilated 25 minutes.
Where'd you wind up?
The last one I did, I, again, accidentally got 24 minutes, 8 seconds.
Okay.
Very nice.
It was an accident because I got there and I was feeling tired already before I'd started. I didn't want to be there because it was like 2 degrees Celsius, so like barely above freezing. Mm-hmm. And I don't really do mornings. I'm an afternoon night person, mm-hmm. Which is really fun for shift life. but... Like, I'm going through the run as well, going, I'm just not feeling it. I'm just not feeling it. I get to the end, and I, at the end of when I do park runs, I try to make the last 100, 200 meters, like, not necessarily a sprint because I'm too exhausted to do that by then, but a much, like, a genuine run mm-hmm. jog. Yeah. Like,
a strong finish.
I'm a fast sprinter. Yeah, a strong finish. And I like it was barely faster than the jog I had been doing.
Yeah.
But it turns out the jog I had been doing was a lot quicker than what I thought I was doing. And, you know, it worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's fantastic. So, I don't think I am not a consistent runner. I enjoy running and I run fairly often, but I am definitely not a consistent runner. And I don't think I've ever ran a 5K quite that fast. I've gotten down, I think, into 24, but definitely not low 24. That's a uh-huh. pretty
that's still
pretty
a really
pace.
Good time, you know.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, so like I can't consistently get there because shift work. But mm-hmm. I've just started it up. I can't remember if I started it up before Fit West or just after it started, but that's the first time I've done it in, since 2015 or 16, something like that.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, it's been a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm glad Fit West was an excuse for you to get back into it then.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, like, and that's a really good thing about Fit West as well, is that you start doing things and over the course of a month, you're like, yeah, maybe I can keep doing that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is the idea. That's definitely the goal that we were going for, was try to help people create habits and keep going with a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. At least a twice a year for a month, yeah, habit, right. if yeah, nothing yeah, else.
For sure,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, well, like if nothing else, right?
But yeah.
But so there's a lot of little things you can do in your everyday life just to do a little bit extra. And it really does help.
It does. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. Even just the little stuff can really help with your mental headspace, even just, you know, the short walks or the, you know, whatever. Yeah, like it's
It's actually genuinely good to do short walking,
mm-hmm.
honestly.
Yeah.
Walk around the block, walk around a park or something. It really helps a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really wish, and I know it's like there's more pushes to do this now, but to have like walkable communities. Like,
mm-hmm.
I would like to be able to walk to my local store, but And, like, it is within walkable distance, but I have to cross Highway 94, which has no crosswalks, and feels... I do not feel safe.
I would not feel safe.
Yeah, either, I would not feel
yeah,
safe.
Yeah, same.
Have you tried running?
Yeah, tried running across. Yeah. Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah, all of our three of our neighborhoods where we live, it's like, there are stores quite nearby that we totally yeah. could walk to, but, like, if there were sidewalks to walk on.
Yeah, the roads
and no crazy
so...
road crossings. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, like... one of the reasons I bought the house that I live in now is because I can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's really good to be able to walk home from work, mm-hmm. walk to the shops.
Yeah.
Like, it's saves a lot of time
yeah.
and a lot of, you know, like, cost on fuel
sure.
and mm-hmm. parking if you have parking
yeah.
fees, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
It really is a good thing
yeah
if you can find a place near where you do most of your activities
yeah.
anyway
mm-hmm. yeah
so Travis we need to take a break for a minute
we have to take official podcast pause because
yeah.
it appears that our recording software has decided to institute a time limit
yeah.
As to how long we can record episodes without paying for it, which did not used to be the case until like
yeah.
this is the first episode we've run into this. So
so we're not sure if we need to save this and then start a second session.
Probably my guess is that's probably
if
what
it's
needs
just
to happen.
Hey, we've used too much time in the program just in general and
oh.
we need to purchase
well,
something.
I suppose we have like that 20-minute startup, like just checking everything was.
Yeah, that
so
spent that ate up some
like
time. It might be an hour.
Sort of
yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. Let me. So yeah, give us just a minute. I'm gonna mess around with the thing and see if I can figure out what's going on to get us restarted.
Yeah,
so
we had such a nice
tight.
Flow going.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, I know. Sorry about that.
So scrubby.
Yeah.
Okay. yeah. Back in business. Okay, so now do you want us to yell for
it
alignment for part two?
Probably very good.
It would probably be a good
yes.
idea to do that. Okay, so
yep.
On the count of three, we're all going to say what shall we say on the count of three?
Yelp.
Bananas.
Yelp.
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 Okay. All right. So on the count of three, we're all going to say that. We're all going to say that loudly in unison so that Clint can match up our audio. Right. Okay. So 3, 2, 1.
Yelp.
Close enough. Yep.
No,
all right.
No, like he's on a delay. So
he's
it's
on a delay.
He's on a delay, so it'll be
yeah,
fine.
So it'll
yeah.
be fine. Yep, yep, yep.
Yeah.
It always feels to us like it's not in unison, but it's because of the internet delay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, okay. So we have lined up again, and we stopped where we were talking about just walking
walking
to stores.
To shops
yeah.
and doing little things during the day that add
yes.
up and help.
Okay. Is there anything else anyone wants to say about FitWest, or should we move on to miscellaneous other things?
Well, you guys just recently went on a backpacking thing, right?
We did. We could talk about that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We could
yeah.
talk
yeah.
about
that. That was a quick one, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so... No, we don't need to. We
going.
Don't need to restart.
Oh,
it's fine. We'll,
okay.
we'll just Clint will edit this
Clint
in post.
Figure it out.
what sort of stuff are you using for editing?
We use.
Oh, so yeah, this is fun. So like, we're recording in Ableton, but Ableton software was designed by, I presume, a Mac user.
Yes,
and I'm not a Mac user, so I will export it. From Ableton into little MP3s, and then I upload those all into Audacity, and Audacity
yes.
is a much easier
yes, it is.
Thing to use. So that's what I do. It's very jank and scrubby.
Yeah, that's actually, now that I think about it, could I have expected more from Scrubs? You're on a YV666, right? So you're just cobbling bits and pieces
mm-hmm.
together. And it works.
Yes.
Yes. That is
like,
the entirety of our production.
Like, and the end result is it works.
Yeah.
It does.
No, so for the longest time, I was actually putting a lot of work into it because I'm not very skilled with the whole editing thing.
Yeah.
So like used to be I would go – like before I found what's called the limiter –
That was such a life changer. I would go back. I would have to go through the entire episode and find every single spike, like audio spike, and then like highlight the area and like decrease the decibels to where it sounded good.
I would go through
everything and measure it all up until it all matched. Now I just highlight the entire track, click one button, and it does all of that for me.
Normalize or something like that, right?
Yeah,
such a useful tool.
Yeah, it has a lot of useful tools once I started figuring out how to use them. But for a while, I was doing it very scrubbily, and it would take a couple hours. And yeah,
time consumption.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, he's got it all. He's got it all down pat now.
Getting it figured out more now. But yeah, that's the terrible software that I do.
The dance that you do to get our episodes to the people. Uh-huh. Yeah. So where were we?
Backpacking.
Oh yes. So so Dan, in his bid to drag his friends through every possible outdoor exercise activity, has this year decided to drag us through the activity of backpacking.
That's true.
The good news is we had been, and we've talked about on the cast before, about our bike packing, biking and camping and all that. And so luckily a lot of our equipment is reusable, not everything, but like a lot of our equipment that we bought, specifically our sleeping like hammock setup, is pretty much transferable to the backpacking. You know, we're just putting it on our back instead of on a bike. Mm-hmm. So we made the not too terribly difficult transition from
mostly it was just buy a $250-ish backpack and,
right
and you're pretty much good to go with all the other gear that we already had, so
mostly. And then we had to buy hiking shoes. And,
yeah. I forget about shoes because I have trail running shoes, and so I don't
you didn't need specific shoes. Clint and I did not have proper running shoes or of any kind, proper trail shoes of any kind. Mm-hmm. So we had to go get hiking shoes. But yeah.
Yeah, so the plan is
like I tried them once and I found them just a little awkward.
We bought ones that were actually they don't feel that much different to normal tennis shoes. Like they're not like the high top ones, like because I guess traditional, hiking boots or hiking shoes would be, high top around the ankles. But we got ones that were low cut. You know, they're a bit bigger. They're a little bulkier and, thicker soled than what a normal.
They have big lugs.
Big lugs.
They
okay.
Yeah. They have big lugs.
Mm-hmm. Right. But they're not. They don't feel radically, they're a little heavier and clunkier, but they don't feel radically different from a normal, athletic shoe.
Tennis shoe,
whatever you want to call it, however you want to call it. Mm-hmm. I know tennis shoe means maybe different things to different people in different places of the world, but,
I think I understand what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like similar to some kind of athletic footwear, just a little thicker and clunkier, mm-hmm. just a little.
Okay.
Yep.
But not bad. Not bad that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But no, I'm turning 40 this year and hit on the idea of going backpacking in the mountains for a week later this year, right around my birthday. So in preparation for that, we're doing a few small backpacking trips here and there, and just kind of locally to get prepped for that, basically.
Mm-hmm. Would the one at the end of the year would be a much longer one, like a week or something? Or
yeah, it's going to be seven nights, 8 days of hiking.
Now it's going to be split up. It's not like we're getting dropped off in one area and going off for 7 days and then coming back. Mm-hmm. It's going to be like a 2-day trip in one area, then move to another area and do a 3-day trip, and then move to another area and do another 2-day trip. But that way we get to see a couple different locations of the mountains. Mm-hmm. So it's not all the same. Mm-hmm. And it's also a little a much easier start for our first time big adventure in the mountains, rather than just going off, you know, for 7 days.
Yeah,
okay,
I can
see you in a week.
Good luck.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're easing into that there. As far as like backpacking goes, like I am very impressed with the technology of backpacking that allows me to carry, you know, a quarter of my weight. Like basically a quarter again of my weight on my back, and you know, it does make me more tired and, you know, makes my neck a little sore or whatever. But, like, without terrible hardship, I've got, like, an extra 30 pounds on my back. And, like, that's pretty crazy to me. Like, I was definitely, like, dubious about, you know, carrying that much weight around. Because I am tiny and, you know.
Yeah, but the technology of the backpacks and, like, how they're designed with all the many straps to position the weight in different ways is pretty incredible. Like, it doesn't feel like you're carrying that much weight or adding that much weight on.
Yeah.
Just based on how you position it. It's
Cause it's one of those things, like, I'll go to pick up the backpack, you know, the fully loaded backpack to like carry it around somewhere or like lift it up on my shoulders. And I'm like, God, this thing is freaking heavy. But then once I get it on and I'm moving around with it, like, it's honestly not that bad. Mm-hmm. Like, going up hills is terrible, but going up hills is always terrible. So
now it's just slightly more terrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I suppose it's the difference between trying to physically carry it with your arms and then putting it over your core as well, where
you do have
a lot more support and muscle and all that sort of stuff. But
does my core have more muscle? I don't think it does.
Actually, that's a good point. Mine very definitely doesn't right now. Okay. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, that's our most recent fitness adventure.
It was fun. We went into it a little bit blind, not knowing exactly what the trail was going to be like. And we've been on this. The trail that we went to is like a section that is 370 miles long, all told. And so we've been on other areas of this trail before, but never on this particular area that we went to this time. And tried a new section and started off, and it was like, oh wow, this is overgrown. This is kind of a mess. And got a mile in, and I think by the time we gotten a mile in, we'd found like 5 or 6 ticks between the three of us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It was so overgrown and it was not maintained and not cut. And definitely was not well traveled.
No, not
portion of the
like
trail.
Like a hatchet or something with you on these sort of things, or no. Okay.
Nope. Generally not.
which
too
makes
much weight
wading
for
through overgrown areas. Even
yeah.
Harder.
Yeah. Well, like, and it wasn't so overgrown that it was like hard to walk through, but it was overgrown enough that like for Missouri, you know, you're getting ticks. Like just guaranteed.
Yeah, you're walking through. Uh-huh. Knee-high grass or anything.
Yeah. And so then, like, we probably would have just kept going, but we got to a portion of the trail that the trail split, and there were no markers to tell us which way that it went. And, like, we're sitting there looking at three different maps, trying to figure out where in the world on these maps we actually are, and couldn't figure it out because the maps weren't detailed enough to actually figure
it out.
And
they looked different from each other.
And they looked different from each other. And it was like, okay, so we turned around and drove half an hour to another section of the trail. And that was significantly better.
Yeah.
You could see
we found considerably fewer ticks on us from that point on. We could see where the path was, and everything was marked, and we knew what was happening. Uh-huh. And wound up camping by a little waterfall, and it was very nice.
Oh, nice.
It was very nice.
That is good.
Yeah, by little, it was like really 2 feet tall. Yeah,
yeah, but running, but dripping water.
The water was
really
falling.
Nice,
yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was nice. It, for me, it drowned out the sound of the raging party that was coming from over hill in yonder dale somewhere.
Yeah, like when it gets so like the area is like, I don't know, it's like a mountainous area that we're hiking in, and it's great and all during the day, but like when it gets nighttime, you can hear the highways mm-hmm. and sometimes like music thumping from miles away. Yeah. It's insane. And somebody was having a rager somewhere, and we could just hear some music thumping a ways away, mm-hmm. and it was
I was very glad that I brought earplugs with me. Yeah, like I read an article at one point in time from some guy for a Nature magazine or something, Nature website, I don't know, some kind of nature-related magazine for Missouri. That this guy had apparently
found a
like,
piece of paper on the ground. Yeah, and nature on top. Yeah. And he was like, oh. Yeah.
So this guy had tried to find the spot in Missouri that was furthest away from any roads and went there and spent, you know, a somewhat significant portion of time there to see if he could still hear traffic. And as it turned out, in the supposedly remotest section of Missouri, he could still hear cars. So, you know, we got that going for us.
I imagine. Go ahead.
No, you.
Oh. All right. No, you. So, noise pollution, like light pollution, is like you can get far away from it, but like the farther you are away from it, the less there is, the easier it is to pollute. Like if. When you
if there's a really big pool of water and you pee in it a little bit, you're gonna notice. But if there's a lot of pee in there already and then you pee in it, nobody's gonna notice.
That was not what I would go with as my analogy, but
yeah, cool,
you can use that one. It's like when there's a lot of cars around, you don't notice an extra car, but when you're out there and it's dead silent and then there's one car off in the distance, it's easier to break that mm-hmm. silent, you mm-hmm. know, it like mm. it's easy to hear that one because it's the only noise around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So where I was going was, I remember reading, it was a Tom Clancy book, I think, years and years and years ago. And he wrote in the back, there's like only 7 places or something like that on Earth that where you can't hear those sort of things or see those sort of things, like a mm-hmm. plane overhead mm-hmm. or something. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not sure how true mm-hmm. that is, but it seems kind of reasonable. And like, it's the same sort of thing. Like, you can be as far as you like away, but you will see or hear that one thing.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
that indicates human activity or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah, the human mm-hmm. presence will make itself known.
Yeah, uh-huh. And it's so funny because like, we saw one other person that day. Mm-hmm. Like we saw, like once we started hiking, we literally saw one other person, and he was heading off the trail and done. And so you feel like you're so far out there and you're so far away from civilization. Yeah. And it's all just peaceful and wind in the trees and birds singing and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you lay your head down at night and you think, okay, this is going to be... Oops. Is that bass? That's bass.
That's bass.
That's a rager going on somewhere like relatively close to us. Like somebody is having a dance party. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, and then you're having a nice peaceful sleep in the morning. You know, the party quiets eventually, and you know you get your nice full nights of sleep, and you're sleeping in the morning, and all of a sudden, you hear a little bit of, you know, crunching in the distance, and then the voices of some middle-aged ladies going, "Hey, is someone camping over there? Hello?
Are you camping?
Are you camping over there? Is anyone there?"
Hey,
finally I raised my head and was like, yes, we're camping over here. And they were like, oh, Well, so, sorry. We hope we didn't wake you. Sorry.
She specifically said we just wanted to make sure we weren't hallucinating over there. Wow. Right.
I'm sorry. What
are you on?
Oh,
Dan,
was it
you that was talking about how you were camping?
Yes.
And in the middle of the night, people were frog gigging.
Yes. Yeah. That was last October.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. They're just, hey, it looks like somebody's over there. Uh-huh. Like, yes, there is somebody
is,
over yeah. there.
Is that a canoe? I feel like there's somebody camping. Yeah, let's shine the light. Yep, look at that. Are those hammocks?
Oh, they're camping. Yeah. Hey, people.
Yeah, like 11 o'clock at night. Like, oh, my God.
And so you need to bring, like, a mirror so, like, you can just reflect the light uh-huh. right back at all.
So, yes, we had some people that were shocked by people torches. Camping.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. I forgot about the middle aged lady.
It was a decent little adventure that we had. Mm-hmm. It wasn't too much. It was a nice little 2-day, you know, hike out, camp, hike back kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Wow, sounds good.
Yeah, it was fun.
How are we doing on time?
How are we doing on time?
Hard to say since
we had to do a weird split track
at
thing.
An hour, mm-hmm. essentially.
Okay. I was just curious.
We'd be getting pretty close ish.
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we, yeah.
Well, did you bring any topics that you want to talk about?
Oh, that is
on
guest
your guest appearance of on the. Uh-huh.
I don't know. Where do we want to go? We have so many things we could talk about.
The world is wide and open.
It really is.
Anything is possible.
Science, board games, personal philosophies. Who knows? I don't know. So, panic.
So if you want to talk about board games, Clint yeah, and I went to a board game convention the other day.
Yeah, Geekway to the West.
Yeah, Geekway to the West. It's a local convention here in St. Louis, and I have no idea how many attendees they get, but it felt like it was like a couple thousand at least.
Yeah. When I was going, it was somewhere around 400. And that was years ago, in 2018.
Yeah, several years ago. So, you know, it felt like there was at least, because like, so the deal is, it's a board game convention, which means literally there's a bunch of tables of people playing board games, and that is the convention. Yeah. Like, it's not one of those overly scheduled, like, oh, you know, this is happening at this, there's this thing happening every hour of the day and different and panels and blah, 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 blah. No, none of that stuff.
We're all gathered here to play board games.
Yes. Yeah. No, that is.
Yes. And they have an app you could get that would be like, hey, I'm looking for 6 players to play this game, and like random people could sign up and then you meet up somewhere.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they had a game library as well. Yeah, so they provided a certain number of games. And then certain games also, like, they have a big library, but then they also have a specific subset of games that are
play to win.
Yes. Yeah. So you play these specific games and it enters you into a drawing to potentially win them. Yeah. Because Clint and I are apparently incredibly lucky, we each won a game. So we got, the one was trekking through history. Sorry, that's what it was. One was called Trekking Through History. And it's a thing where, like, you have all these cards with different dates on them, ranging from, like, you know, 2000 BC to like 1996 or something, whatever the date range is. And you're going along and, like, drawing cards and picking up cards and trying to lay them out in a sequence from, like a sequential sequence from, like, oldest to newest kind of thing. Yeah. It was a neat little game. It wasn't like my favorite game that we played, but it was a neat little game. Definitely worth getting for free.
Out of all the games that we did play, that was the one where we were just like, I don't really care to win that one, and that's the one we won.
But whatever. It was still a fine game. Yes. But it just wasn't like as good as some of the others we played. And then the second one
we won, though, was a highly recommended game.
So the other one we loved. It's extremely simple, but we just thought it was the cutest thing ever. It's called The Finest Fish. And you have a player board that is in the shape of a fish, and it has an indented section where your fish scales go. And then there's a bunch of little wooden fish scales in different colors. And you're basically just like trying to create. So there's a bunch of cards with like different patterns of scales, you know, patterns of like colors and scales, and you're trying to like build the scales on your fish to like match the patterns that you have on your cards.
I really
and you're
like
trying to make the finest fish.
I think I enjoy those kind of like you know, you're trying to match the patterns, like kind of thing. Like I think I like those games.
What do you guys normally look for in a game? Like, if you were to go out and, say, purchase a game that you're going to play maybe 3 or 4 times with a bunch of people, what sort of
good personality.
Good personality. Yeah. I mean, that does help, you know, if the game has a good theme and a good, you know, kind of thing like that.
I don't know.
So I personally really like cooperative games. I don't, you know, I mean, obviously, like, you know, I play plenty of competitive games too, but I just specifically enjoy cooperative games. Like my first cooperative board game was Pandemic, of course, you know, the you know, most popular cooperative game. We are huge fans here at the Scrubcast of Spirit Island. That is a much more complicated very good competitive or a cooperative board game. We love Spirit Island. Like just like cooperative, generally speaking, is my favorite, but obviously, you know, they're not super common necessarily. So they're hard to find. Spirit Island is just kind of like that rare, you know, gem that you find, which is like a, you know, a cooperative game that's like very replayable and, sure, it's kind of, you know, can be kind of crunchy, as they say, you know, like you know, it can be a little
very deep and
the strategy can be really complicated, and the overall thing is rather complicated, but once you get the hang of it, awesome game. So like, yeah, I do specifically enjoy looking for co-op games, but other than that, I honestly, like, as far as competitive games go, I don't even know if I have, like, strong preferences of, like,
the style,
what
yeah,
I
don't know.
Really look for in a game. I personally, again, also like a balance of strategy versus luck, right? Mm-hmm. I do not want a game to be purely strategy-based because my brain is not that big, you know, for something that's purely strategy-based. So, like, I somewhat enjoy chess, but I've just never been, like, good at it, right? Because, like, that sort of pure strategy, like, my brain doesn't optimize for that. But I also don't want it to be pure luck because then that's just kind of boring, you know, whatever. So it's got to be, I personally either look for a co-op game or a really nice mix of luck and strategy to where I feel like even if I'm not terribly good at the game, I have a chance to win. You know, luck might, you know, might at least keep me in the game for a while before it's at least a factor that might keep me in the game for a while before I completely lose. So, you know, yeah, that's my take on things. I don't know if anybody else has any thoughts on that.
If the game has miniatures, I will be more attracted to it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just as a start.
I do like visual appeal. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Clint's a big visual appeal
person. I'm big on visual appeal. Like, I got a game called Merchants and Marauders that I bought just because it was a bunch of ships, you know, just seafaring ships in the Caribbean. Yeah.
Yeah, we should play that sometime, Matt.
A game of Skyrim, which is a cooperative board game that we are playing right now.
Yes.
But we have quite a ways to go in that.
We do.
And then we have our RPG as well. So,
yeah.
Someday we can get across that.
Yeah.
But then I know more that I'm open to most things, but I tend to avoid worker placement games.
Okay.
Those, they're not my style. I can play them, but they're not my style. And I agree with Emily where I like, that's something that feels like it leans more heavily into just pure strategy.
Oh, worker placement. Yeah.
There's less randomness to it.
Yep, for sure.
And I think that's kind of where I'm with you on that, where it's like, I like strategy, but I also like the randomness to where if you pull the, like in a pure strategy game, it's like if you pull the right thing, nobody can beat you type thing, you know? Mm-hmm.
That, yeah.
So I appreciate the randomness factor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It, yeah. The randomness that not only, you know, keeps the playing field more even, maybe even obscures, you know, who's winning. Like, that's another thing of, like, I kind of like a game where who has won is obscured until the end. Like, you don't count up your points until the end, because in the sense that, like, then it's not like, oh, I can see myself here at the back of the pack and it's, you know, it's super clear that I'm not winning. Like, you know, it's kind of nice when you're,
yeah, it's like, you are enjoying playing the game itself, that at the end the points almost actually don't matter.
Yeah, right.
Because you are in the moment actually doing the things. Let's say it's like an engine building sort of game. You go, well, mm-hmm, I can put this piece here, and if I do that, this piece comes here, and then this piece comes here, and look, I've got this thing that's happening. And it actually doesn't matter that it's any good point-wise, but you're doing a thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we've got a little game called Oceans that is kind of an engine builder, and it is that thing where, like, so you can usually kind of have an idea maybe of who's ahead and who's behind, but it's hard to tell. Your pile of points, you do collect points as you go, but your pile of points is obscured behind a little, you know, cardboard foldout, so, you know, you can't see exactly how many points anybody has. And so, yeah, you're just building an engine of cool fish and, you know, stealing fish from each other's fish and, you know, whatever. Like, you know, so so, you know, you're just having fun doing the stuff. You're not really caring about it. It's not like one of those things where you have like the score tracker where you're constantly looking at where everybody is. Like, no, it's just like you're doing the thing and building the engine and, you know, having fun, and then at the end, you know, yeah, points feel less meaningful compared to how the whole game went. Yeah cool. Definitely.
Cool.
So Clint, what's your answer to this question?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that question. Like, I had somebody at the board game convention that even asked me, you know, like, so what kind of games do you like? I'm like, I don't know. It's a good question, actually. Maybe I should hammer that down. I like a lot.
It's sort of like you go, I like this game, but I also like this game, and I like this game, and they're all completely different.
Yeah, that's the thing. I have, like, my games library has a bit of everything. It has worker placement, it has area control, it has competitive, it has cooperative, it has just all the, you know.
Yeah, it's got a whole smattering of things.
Yeah, like,
so
yeah.
Clint is the one that typically comes in with a Kickstarter or a game found and is like, hey, I funded this thing. And I'm like, okay, I look forward to seeing that in 6 to 8 months.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We'll see that in 2 years.
Or 2 years or whatever. Yeah.
I'm that guy.
Yeah, and most of those get me on visual appeal.
Yeah.
Like, when I'm shopping for games, the biggest thing is visual appeal. Even, like, when we were at the convention there, like, looking through the games library, it's like, I mean, the first thing I'm looking at is the picture on the box.
Yeah.
And then I flip it over and look on the back. And if it looks boring to me, I'll just put it right back down.
Yeah.
It could be the greatest game. But if it looks boring to me, I'll put it back down. Now, if somebody says, hey, try this, it's great, then I'll try it.
Yeah.
But
– yeah. So if a game company wants to get me, they have to have a cool box design on the front,
mm-hmm,
or immediately show me what the figures are on the front,
mm-hmm,
like a la X-Wing, you know, where it's right, like, oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And once I see that, I need to be able to flip it on the back and see what the game looks like.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's...
I hate flipping it over and it's just words.
It's a wall of text. And I'm like, well, this doesn't show me what the game is. Uh-huh. What's going on here? Yeah. So, like, when I would be at the game store waiting for a game of X-Wing, I would just tour. You know, I'd walk around and I'm like, oh, this box design looks interesting. I'd pull it out, look at the front, then I'd flip it over, and then I'd see nothing. And I'm like... okay, that's just a wall of text that doesn't
tell me what this game is. Mm-hmm. You know?
Nope. You gotta hook me with that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally am really drawn to games that my friends like.
It helps a lot, right?
Dan is one of those people that just wants to play a game. He doesn't so much care what that game is. He just,
if friends are going to have fun playing it, I am down.
However, if it has an Agent of Chaos thing in it,
I will play the Agent of Chaos.
So I was going to say, Clint, if it's got air paints...
it's got airplanes.
If it has a World War One theme, about airplanes.
If it's one of the World War themes, then that one that draws me pretty quick. Star Wars theme always grabs me, but you know,
it's the initial. It'll get you the initial look at the.
Like, I mean, there's a lot of war games that come out that I just I pass up, but man, because they're so dice crunchy. But
So what about you, Travis? What's your style?
Sort of going with Clint's response, I don't really have a style. I just like what I like.
Gotcha.
But so I was the guy. Most of the board game nights are at my place, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I have maybe 2 to 3 different groups of people, all of different game styles and that sort of stuff. I tend to get a lot of games that are relatively simple for the group that tends to not play very many games. But I do also like the real crunchy, sometimes in your face, but there's a limit to how much you can do that, right? That sort of stuff that are more competitive. I've got a whole set of Kickstarters coming soon, which is going to be real interesting finding space for.
I learned that the past couple of years. I've gotten most of my Kickstarters in, and I've definitely ran out of room in my accounts.
I had to purchase another cabinet. It's a bar cabinet, and bar now stands for Board Games and Recreation. The one coming up, it is a cooperative. It's from the same guy that made Pandemic, actually. Be in the next couple of months, I want to say. Daybreak is one that I'm really looking forward to. Similar sort of thing. We're all trying to work towards common goals. In this case, it's try to limit, say, environmental collapse from increasing temperatures or social unrest. From political situations happening around the world, sort of thing. But same sort of thing. Okay. Save the planet.
Same underlying concept.
So that's probably the one I'm looking forward most. But my problem at the moment is that we just haven't been able to get the groups, like any of the groups, together. Life keeps getting in the way.
I mean, we hang out all the time, but there's so many games and so little time.
Simple games, easy to teach, relatively easy to play.
No, those ones I'm always trying to find for my family. Because whenever I go visit my family, they're always like, oh, did you bring board games? I'm like, yes, I did. And I have new ones because, like, I'm always on the lookout for, like, more simple games that people who are not board gamers can play.
Have you tried any, like, escape room type ones?
No. I haven't tried a board game of escape room, no.
Mm-hmm. Some of them can be quite good.
We did try... Well, it wasn't an escape room. It was it had a bunch of like clues and codes and stuff. We did like some mystery thing sometime. Remember?
I don't remember this.
It was with me.
Dan did some had some like murder mystery.
That's not
mystery
a, that's not yeah, that's not I a mean, board it's not an escape game.
Room,
it's just
but it's not a board but I assume that's kind of what the escape rooms are like. It's, you know, here's a bunch of puzzles and do the puzzles.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah.
I ordered a board game on Kickstarter
a while ago
in 2021. It's Rainbow Six Siege, and it's a big enough of an IP that it's gonna happen. It's just been taking eons, like so much that I forget about it at times, and then I get an update and I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, they're still making that game. Wow, yeah. I paid for that a while ago.
Yeah. I'm actually surprised I do Kickstarter games at all, because the first one I did didn't come through.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes, that
it's the only fail that I've ever had. Yeah, and it was a simple one. It's effectively kind of like a hexagonal dominoes, but with colors instead of numbers or anything like that.
Okay.
And yeah, it just never happened. And a similar sort of thing crops up every like 2 to 3 years. Hey, try this. I'm like, no.
Nope. Sorry.
Been burned once. Huh? Yeah.
So yeah, I there's a game called Hero Quest that I played in early 90s. It came out in the 80s, and I loved it. It was my first experience like playing with miniatures on a board, and you know, there was a barbarian, an elf, a dwarf, and a wizard, and you know, there were orcs and goblins, and this was, it was so cool. And there was going to be a 25th anniversary edition, and it's probably more somewhere around like 29th anniversary edition by the time it finally got out. But like, it was on Kickstarter, and then it didn't go to GameFound, but it went to some other Kickstarter style thing. And like, when I tried to you know, give my $250 towards it, it was like it was charged, it was going to be charged in Spain, and my bank was like, hey, we think this is a fraudulent charge. And I was like, I don't think that it is. And then I asked around, and I was like, I don't think that it is. And I tried to okay it to go through. It wouldn't work. But again, it took like an extra 4 years before I ever saw anything about it. And now it's actually popping up on shelves. And I'm like, oh, so it is real. I'm good. Because it's like the same artwork and everything. Yeah. I was like, okay, so this wasn't just fake. But I'm also glad that it's there, because I can actually, you know, it's actually shown up in game stores. So if I actually want to buy it, I can buy it.
You can at least buy it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Wow.
Yeah.
The 4 year turnaround sometimes on those crowdfunding things is insane. I haven't been that bad. I'm on a 2 year wait time right now on one of them, but that's the longest I've ever had on a crowdfunder. Most of them are pretty quick turnarounds, unless they have, you know, no idea what they're actually making whenever they do the crowdfund. Sometimes they're like, hey, we have like the vaguest idea of a board game, and everyone's like, I love it, do it. And then they're like, oh crap, now we actually have to make a board game. So like 3 years later, you might get it.
I've tried every 6 months or so, I get like a creative kick on, and it's like, I'm going to write this novel, or I'm going to make this board game. And I get partway through it, and I find out that it's either already been done, or that I sort of hit a wall, and then it stops for the next 3 months until I get my next creative kick, where I start something completely different. But it is one of those things that I'd like to do. Like,
that was
one or both would be great.
Yeah, that was actually how I found that game, Merchants and Marauders. I was like, there's a game that I used to play that was called Pirate's Gold, Sid Meier's Pirate's Gold, and I was like, there has to be a game, a board game that's like this. And Merchants and Marauders was good enough. I don't think it quite hits the same feel. I actually think that this Skyrim game that we've been playing would actually suit it better. Like, if someone made it in that style, it would probably suit it better. But the Merchants and Marauders game was close enough to where I was like, okay, I'm going to buy this game. I'm going to paint the ships and do all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I agree with you, where it's like, you know, I'll come up with an idea, I'll start working on it, and then I'll see that there's a game that exists and has done it, and it probably has been out for like 5 or even like 30 years.
So it's kind of a going to complete a very large circle here, but that's actually kind of how I found X-Wing. there was a do you remember Flash Games way back in the day? So there was a particular game called Steam Wings, whereby every couple of seconds the game would pause and you would set your movements. And then everybody sets their movements, it all happens at the same time, and then you do it all again. I'm like, wow, that's really cool. I wonder how you'd make that. about 2 or 3 weeks later, I walk into the hobby store and I walk past them like, those are Thai phantoms on the shelves. I can't yeah. believe anyone's making those, because that was a very obscure game that I have. And yeah. so I went and looked it up, and it's like, oh, this is the game that I just wanted to make right now.
Yeah.
So yeah. Here we are.
Yep.
Yep. Neat. I mean, I got into X-Wing because I was trying to find a game that was like Wings of Glory, but had a better system, and X-Wing had better template system. So I was like, all right, yep, that's...
Uh-huh. Yeah. As I understand it, X-Wing was effectively Wings of Glory?
It was, yes, like but yes, but something, they couldn't get the rights to do the card maneuvers, so they were like, screw it, we'll just do templates and dials.
Yeah.
And it was so much better.
Cool. Yeah.
Spiritual successor.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And now here we all
yeah,
are.
Yeah, so
many
so
years
shout
later.
At people now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Shouting at people in announcements yeah. time. Yeah.
It's shouting time for sure.
Woo! Shout!
You. Do you guys have any announcements?
I have a shout out to make.
Oh, okay.
I was on the PDP podcast. It's the Pit Droid podcast.
Oh, okay.
So I guess it wouldn't be the PDP podcast. It would be the PD podcast. Uh-huh. Like the ATM machine.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think that it is actually Pit Droid Pit podcast.
Oh, is it the Pit Droid? Maybe it is the PDP it podcast. Is. Okay. Well, then I was on it, and I was wrong about the name.
Uh-huh.
We were just talking about stuff that's coming out in 2023. It was cool. They had
and
me
the scrub down.
What?
And the scrub down.
That happened.
Apparently you talked about the scrub down, maybe?
A little bit, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Talked about the side event since we held a legacy event there. Mm-hmm. And talked about that. And
so stuff coming out in 2023, you're referring to legacy stuff specifically.
Well, yeah, I mean the legacy it's still like a Battle of Endor is coming out. The YT-2400 is coming out. The Alpha Class Starwing, that's coming out in 2.5. But that also means it's coming out in 2.0.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. Oh. All right. So if anyone wants to hear Matt Carey talk more, go to the
yeah.
go to the Pit Droid Pit podcast.
You know what? I do. So I think I'll go. Yeah, we have a link in our Discord, but also, it's Pit Droid Pit podcast. Apparently,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Alrighty, good chatting. I don't know that we as a cast have any other announcements, particularly the scrub down was our big hurrah there, and I don't think we have any specific like upcoming things to talk about. So
I got two upcoming things. July 8th, Australian time, so I assume 7 guys over.
Right.
We have Jawathon. The Western Australian Jawas are doing Jawathon. It's a charity event. Raising money for the kids' hospital, I believe.
Okay.
I'm not sure if there's going to be any streaming, but big shout out to Andrew Simons, who is going to be TO for 5 different game systems. So,
oh boy.
They do have a Jawa paybook, and I'm pretty sure if this is right, in the past they've done things like pay to change results. Rolled all blanks. No, I didn't. Throw $5 at them. I remember, I think I remember that there was a stream once where people were just hurling money to make somebody's dice results terrible.
Yeah.
Which is always fun.
Like I've heard of several of those where you could pay $1 to get a mulligan to re-roll and stuff
those sort of things. Over the past couple of years, they've raised something like just shy of $33,000, which is really, really good. It'll be their fifth event. Oh, they've also done some campaigns against cancer before. So you can pay towards their Facebook group, Perth Jawas. Also, for anybody possibly on the East Coast, Saturday, August 5, there'll be an event coming to Canberra no details set yet, but that's the date and time that we've got. So it's a fair way away, but, you know, pack your bags. And I guess I just want to do some shout-outs to the various groups I've been part of. So the Monday Nights, K-N-I-G-T-H, or however you spell it. T-H? No, H-T. Oh, no, I've forgotten how to spell. Anyway, the Monday Nights.
I never knew, so.
Yeah. And, of course, the Jawas from Western Australia and my own, well, not my own, I don't own it. the group I'm part of, Capital Cartel, here on in Canberra, particularly to Will Anderson, who is basically keeping game alive here at the moment, and Chu. We have a guy whose actual name is Chu. Chewy is the one who basically beats me into condition to play in tournaments. helped me get like various wins, like Perth, and helped me for over at Worlds. So super thanks to him. And Rob Carmelish, the next wave of Onyx Squadron cards, portraits, holographic portraits. They look amazing of all the various pilots. So keep an eye out for those.
Right on.
And also you guys, like, you and people like you, because content creators, you guys don't get enough credit. So, thanks.
Yeah, shout at us.
shout at you.
When you
but yeah, it really is good stuff that you guys produce.
Right on. If you ever get like images of the hollow cards that you were talking about, if you just want to post them and just make us feel jealous or anything like that.
Feel free.
Like to see them.
I will. Yeah, I think there's a small video floating around at the moment. I'll see if I can post that up onto the.
We'll get our intern on that.
Nice.
All right. Cool.
Well,
thanks for the shout out to us.
Alrighty. Yeah. Shout out to anybody who's listening from the Australian lands.
Yeah, lands down under.
Yeah, I have no idea how many listeners we have from down there, but at least one. We can count at least one now. But shout out to everyone else who listens to us from far-flung places. I haven't looked like recently, but back when the podcast was getting started, it was amazing to me. Even when we were in our first few months, you know, of podcasting, I was just shocked at like how many different countries, you know, we were pulling listens from.
When
like,
we were blogging consistently.
French Guinea.
Yeah. Okay.
We had one viewer, one reader in French Guinea.
Very early on when we would... when we would be blogging, Dan would be like, we consistently, every time we have a blog out, we have one reader from French Guinea. And I'm like, that's awesome.
It is really cool.
It turned out to be a naval base.
Was there a naval base there? That was our theory, because
the person has to have speak English, and there has to be, like, they have to have X-Wing as an interest, so it's like, unless there is a X-Wing community in French Guinea, this is probably somebody that plays X-Wing and is on a naval base or something like that. That was what we thought, because it did eventually like go away, so presumably moved
presumably
to a different...
Presumably they moved somewhere else, but yeah, one reader in French Guinea.
Pretty just great. Uploading some of those cards now.
Oh, nice.
Okay. I noticed my phone was ringing.
He's a solid intern. We might have to keep this guy around.
How
do we save videos? Nope.
Any more announcements?
I think we're good.
Thank you to Travis for joining us.
And for participating in FitWest.
Thank everybody for participating, but particularly Travis in this instance.
He's a special one.
There are a lot of really cool FitWest people out there.
The
pictures and the things they do.
Thanks for coming on. We hope you enjoyed your prize of dubious value. And yep, we will.
It was value.
Well, good. So we will we'll see you around.
Yeah,
at some point.
All
right.
Goodness, awkward conclusions.
Excellent. I love it.
All right.
It's like
say
that moment where
to the
you're
people.
Walking away from someone after you've said goodbye, but they're walking in the same direction.
Yeah. All right. Say goodbye to the people, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Ring our bells.
Excuse me, are you brainless? No, not really, no.
Your ability to speak does not make you intelligent.
Don't do that again. Many Gungans will be killed.